Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Robert Swartwood Podcast. It has been quite some time since I did a podcast last, and I really have no excuse. Just been busy, kind of pushed it aside, but I'm trying to get back into the swing of things. And before we begin today's podcast, which is with author Gay Degani, I just want to say that the Hint Fiction Contest, I'm almost done reading the submissions. There were a lot of stories that came in. So once those get narrowed down, there's going to be a top 20. And from the top 20, people are going to be able to pick their favorites. And from their favorites, I'm going to pick a top 10. And from that top 10, it goes to Benjamin Percy, and he will pick the winner. So we're probably looking at, I'm going to say, probably the beginning of next month is when the winners will be announced. Finally, Bullet Rain. That should be out in another week or so. From what I hear from people who have read it already, they said it's really, really a fun read, and I'm really looking forward to having everybody check it out. So that's it for now. Now let's go on and talk to Gay. Gay Degani has a substantial list of published fiction, both online and in print, including 8 stories of everyday fiction. She's had 3 stories nominated for Pushcart consideration and won the 11th annual Glass Woman Prize for her flash piece, Something About L.A. And her short fiction collection, Pomegranate Stories, is also available at online retailers like Amazon. She was a founder of Everyday Fiction's Flash Fiction Chronicles and is current staff editor at Smoke Along Quarterly. And her novel, What Came Before, is currently released by Everyday Novels, which is something that we will be talking about very shortly, and because it's a very different way of bringing the novel to the reader. So, Gay, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good. So, Everyday Novels is obviously a branch of Everyday Fiction, and what they're doing here is, and for people who don't know, I guess, Everyday Fiction presents a short story a day, and it's really a flash fiction story, so it's under 1,000 words. And with Everyday Novels, they are presenting a novel, but it's kind of a serialized novel, and that every day there's a new chapter, and that chapter is less than 1,000 words. And I guess currently you're up to chapter 45, and you said how many chapters are there in total?
There's a total of 70 chapters, and each chapter in the tradition of everyday fiction is 1,000 words or fewer.
And so when you went and you wrote this book, did you already have in mind that, you know, when you were doing it, were you doing it with the idea that every chapter was going to be about 1,000 words, or did it just work out that way? Or tell us kind of how it all came about.
Well, actually, it was a novel that I had started a few years ago and had workshopped it and spent a lot of time trying to get what my vision was in an order that I thought would really work for the reader and work for me, and was really struggling with it. So when Camille Campbell said to me, you know, I want to launch a new website, Everyday Novels, do you have anything that you, or would you like to submit something? And I suggested this book that I had a draft of, but it was unwieldy and very, had a lot of holes in it. Said, yes, you know, I have a novel, What Came Before, and the challenge of using the 1,000-word limit per chapter, I thought would help me to focus on what was important in the book, what the reader had to know and understand in order to get a sense of suspense and a sense of mystery and yet be satisfied with characters, that using that 1,000-word goal would help me to really pare it down and get it down to what really worked. And as it turned out, it was the best decision I ever made, because all the little problems that I was having with the story and with the book itself seemed to just melt away when what my mind was focused on was keeping each chapter under 1,000 words and keeping each chapter suspenseful so that the reader would want to come back and read it the next day to find out what was going to happen.
And so what has the experience been so far? Because basically you're now getting feedback from readers who are reading, you know, they have to wait for the chapter. It's kind of like when you're watching TV and I mean, in that case, obviously, people are waiting a week or more for a new episode. Here, they're just only waiting a day, but still, there is patience that has to be involved.
That's been very interesting and very flattering to me, because people now, because of Game of Thrones and Breaking Bad and those kinds of shows, tend to want to binge watch them, you know, sit down on a Saturday morning and start watching each episode one right after the other, kind of making TV watching like reading a novel on a weekend where you sit down and you don't move for several hours because you're so engrossed in the novel. And this kind of does the opposite thing. Instead of having the book in your hand, you can, you have to wait. And that's kind of fun for me because first of all, it was a challenge in writing it to make sure that I could entice people to want to come back. But also a lot of the feedback has been, I want the book in my hand. When are you going to put it in print? When can I read it all at once? So I do know that I've created what you want to create in a story, which is a desire to go to the next chapter. So that's been great. Having it online also, I think, allows people to taste it, go over there and read a couple chapters and see if it's something that they really want to read. And as far as I can tell, there's quite a few people that are reading it as the serial, but what I love is the fact that they are impatient with it. So it'll be nice when it's out in hardcover now, so several people have bought it in hardcover, but will be coming out in both paperback and in ebook formats very shortly. And then people will be able to sit down and read it. I just saw someone last night who said she read it in two sittings, half the book one day and half the other half of the book the next day, which is so gratifying to know that people want to do that.
Right, so I guess I should have mentioned earlier that with everyday novels, the reader can read it for free if they wait every day for a new chapter. They are encouraged, of course, to leave donations or to buy the hardcover, like you said, is available now, when the ebook and trade paperback will be available shortly, just for those people who don't have the patience to wait every day and they want to support the author.
Yeah, that's been really nice too. I've had Camille send me some notes about people who have donated, and they've donated with the idea that they will get the ebook as soon as it comes out, and they'll be able to read through the book all in one sitting at that time. So it's been a very good experience for the reader, I think, to have this kind of excitement created with the book, and the fact that it's free, I think, works for the reader, which allows them to have a new experience without having to plunk down money, and then also a great experience for the writer to get the feedback as people read the story. And of course, I'm always worried about, are they going to, in the end, be disappointed? Because with most books, you can love a book all the way to the end, but if the end is not satisfying, it takes away from the book. And so, or you can read a book that's not that great and get to the ending, and if it has a terrific ending, you think, wow, that was better than I thought. So it's anxiety on my part to see, as people read it, you know, one day at a time, one day after another, what their reaction is to the different sections of the book.
So I just kind of realized that we haven't even talked yet about what the book is about. You wanted to tell us, I don't know, maybe in a couple paragraphs, just what's this book about? I mean, what came before is the title? Because you can start maybe on what the title means, or if you want to wait, like, is that a secret?
No, it isn't really a secret, actually. The title always came with me from the very minute I thought of the book, because my original concept is I love historical fiction, and I wanted to create something along the lines of discovering the past, as we always do. As you grow up, you learn more about your family, about your ancestors, your grandparents, and so forth. And when you're growing up, you think of them, all these people, as a certain kind of person. But as you grow older, and as you become the second, you know, the older generation, you begin to see how certain things in other people's behavior from when you were a child that made you have a certain opinion about a person changes as you grow older, because you gain understanding about what the circumstances were in that person's life and the context. And that kind of what was the area I wanted to deal with. And so the idea of what came before, I wanted it to reflect that things that people in your past or in your family have done in the past can affect you and who you are and how you react to different stresses in your life. So that was kind of the original concept. And then I created a character who would have was having problems of her own, maybe in this particular case, self-actualization kinds of issues, wanting to figure out who she was and why she was the way she was. And I had to figure out what she wanted. And in this case, she wanted to have time to herself, to be by herself. She had been, you know, pressed into duties all her life to her father, to her family. And while she wanted to do all those things, at some point when her kids left home, she realized that she didn't have anything that was just for her. So those were the twin issues that I wanted to deal with. And that's exactly what happens. My main character does leave her husband. She tells herself it's temporary because otherwise she couldn't do it. And to find herself in some kind of creative form. But what happens is she soon discovers that she has this woman who claims to be her half-sister. And and this woman is African-American, which, while my character doesn't think of herself as being narrow-minded or, you know, reactionary or anything, it still shocks her that her mother must have had an affair with an African-American man back in the 1940s. And so this is kind of the world that she lives in, the context of her everyday world, put in contrast with the world of her mother. And then on top of that, things happen which bring her deeper and deeper into a need to solve the mystery of her own mother's past and her past, as well as solving a murder. So that's kind of what it is. It's a suspense novel. There's a murder mystery, and yet it has it's part family saga also, because there's that desire to uncover things that happened in the past. All the things I love in a good book.
And this is, in fact, your first novel.
Well, it's not the first novel I've written, but it is the first novel I've published. I have a couple others that are, you know, like all writers, sitting around waiting for me to have a stroke of genius to try and put them together the way they need to be put together. But this is the first one I've been able to, and probably the favorite one that I've ever written, because it's the most close to home. Some of the issues of Abby Palmer, who's my main character, have been some of my issues, my desire to write, and over the years never being able to find time to really learn how to write well. I always had a flair for it, but as most writers know, a flair is not enough, because you do need to understand the craft as well as the art part of writing. So that came out of that desire. The other two novels, I have one that is another murder mystery, family saga type of thing, but much less character development going on. And then I had another one. I can't think of what it's called, though. I can't remember what that was about. Oh, yeah, it was called Plastic Dreams, and it's kind of a comedy, a Susan Isaacs kind of comedy of romance and murder and mayhem. Seems to be what I like, is murder and mayhem.
And so are there plans on, I mean, are these novels finished, or are you still working on them?
Well, Root of Evil is finished, but it needs a definite rewrite, and I will definitely do that. And Plastic Dreams was was actually a screenplay. I wrote about 6 screenplays. So Root of Evil was originally a screenplay, and Plastic Dreams was originally a screenplay. And I novelized them. And basically Plastic Dreams is just, you know, just kind of put down in narrative from the script with not much editing, where Root of Evil's actually been edited and been finalized. But it just needs, you know, as you write and you get to be a better writer, you learn how to layer in deeper meaning and use better language and more original language. And that's what that book needs, is to be, you know, gone through with an eye to being well-written and having lots of setups and payoffs and fun things for the reader to read through and enjoy. And then I have a collection that I'm working on, and I have another, I think you mentioned it in my bio, a short chapbook of 8 stories called Pomegranate Stories, which is out there and has been since, I think, 2007.
Are there plans on releasing another collection?
Yeah, I'm working on one called Rattle of Want, and basically it contains a lot of the fiction that I've already published online. But, you know, for me, this has always been a journey to be better and better, trying to be better and better. I don't think I'm where I'd like to be yet. So most of the stories in the new collection, Rattle of Want, are stories I've published online, but I have gone through and done some rewriting on almost all of them. So where they were good stories before, I'm trying to make them deeper and more meaningful and make sure that the language is original and interesting. So when I finish that, then I hope I can find a publisher.
Very cool. And so once the novel is done here, once it's been serialized and the ebooks and the paperbacks are available, what's the next step for you?
Well, I think first of all, I probably will be considering writing a prequel to what came before, because my original concept of that book, and this is one of the reasons it took me so long to write, I originally told it from 3 viewpoints. The viewpoint of the main character, Abby Palmer, the viewpoint of the villain, I had the villain, her life was in the book throughout the story, and then also I had a technique of showing what actually happened in the past, what happened in 1948, how did Abby's mother and Billy Eastlake meet, what was their love affair like, what happened to them. And in trying to make the current book clearer and easier to read and more fun, I took the 2 other viewpoints out of the book. And I would like to put the Billy Eastlake story, the way he tells the story, back into a prequel form so that the readers of this book can actually read the story of what happened in 1948. I think I'll call it What Came First.
Very cool. All right, so I'll definitely have links here for everyone to check out the Everyday Novels website, so you can get some sample chapters. And again, the hardcover is available, and the paperback and the trade paperback are going to be coming out very shortly. When we say shortly, do you know what that means exactly? Is it like next week or next month?
I'm not exactly sure. Last time I talked to the editor, she said that she just had a few more tweaks on both. So I would say, you know, maybe end of May, beginning of June, something like that.
Excellent. All right. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we go?
No, just I hope people give the book a chance. I've had such great feedback that I have more confidence in it now that it's out there than I did when I was writing it. So I'd love people to give it a chance and you know, read it and comment on it and get in touch with me. I'm very willing to chat about writing or any of the book itself, the history of Hollywood, that kind of thing, which is included in, you know, have some of that, those elements in the book. Love to talk to people online about it. I have a Facebook page and Twitter page, so I'm very open to conversations about the book and how it was to write it and why it took me so long.
Very
and then
good.
Thank you too, Robert, for giving me this opportunity to kind of talk about it a little bit.
Absolutely. So, yeah, again, folks, there's going to be links here. Definitely check out the book. If you're a cheapskate, you can read it online or at least throw in some money and buy the freaking book. I know Gay would appreciate it, and so would the publisher. So until next time, Gay, thank you for hanging out. I'm sure you're very busy, so thank you for talking. And we'll talk to everybody next time.